Kevin and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. So I, again, was not at practice on Saturday. I was still getting over being sick. I planned to be there tomorrow. So I was watching the coverage of Titans camp, and they had all the different interviews going on and everything else. And then I saw this tweet from Julian over at News 2, works with Corey. And it was from Jeffrey Simmons. And I had to roll my eyes at the tweet before I heard what Simmons said. But this was the sound of the day from Jeffrey Simmons when asked about the competitive trash talk between him and Cam Ward in training camp. Go ahead and play the cut.
I consider myself as, you know, the captain and the leader on the defense. And, you know, the way I go, I feel like everybody else go. And I'm big on the team is led from the trenches. No matter the offense line, defense line, the way we go, the team go. And I try to bring the energy. I try to bring the juice, no matter the smack talking to Callahan or Cam Ward. You know, they're on the offensive side of the ball. So I just try to bring that energy. And it's vice versa. You got the head of the snake, and that's our quarterback. No matter what team it is, they're the head of the snake. They get the offense going. So when you got a quarterback, but I mean, he's a young quarterback, they're doing that, you know, you can't help but to rally behind him. You know, you can tell by the response from the offensive line and everybody else around him. You know, he pushing them guys and he making them even talk a little smack more. So I think that's what we want. That's what we need from out of Cam. He's going to have to play football for us. And, you know, me and Cam may be talking smack, but guarantee you, I'm gonna be the first one to have his back on Sunday. So.
Oh, my God, it makes me want to vomit. And for two separate reasons. The first is, number one, the beginning of that cut, Simmons has just decided, I'm the leader of the team. And as I go, so does the team. Boy, I tell you, that sounds like a real leader. When you have to tell everybody that you're the leader, the reality is you're probably not the leader. Secondly, as far as the team, as far as I go, the team goes. And I'm sure that's how a lot of leaders have felt. I'm sure that's how Michael Jordan has felt. I'm sure that's how Cal Ripken Jr. felt. And then you got to make everybody else get on your level. But if that's the case, then why last year when Simmons wasn't sacking the quarterback and the team wasn't winning games, did Simmons not sit there and say, I need to play better? Why with Simmons was it always, I'm doing my job? Simmons talks such a big game. Again, I'm the leader of this team, and I skipped the entire offseason program. Can we just, again, Jake, can we just get the very beginning of that? It so disgusts me the way Jeffrey Simmons has no sense of reality about why people feel the way they feel about him when he says things like this.
I consider myself as, you know, the captain and the leader on the defense, and, you know, the way I go, I feel like everybody else go, and I'm big on the team.
I'm the leader of the team, and as I go, everybody else goes. So I took off the offseason program. So that's the first thing that, again, just drives me absolutely horse crap insane when Jeffrey Simmons says things like that. I'm the leader of this team. I'm the leader of this team. I'm the captain. So that's first thing. The second thing is, when did trash talking become such a big deal? When did this team start believing that trash talking was equal to any positive result on the football field? Mike Vrabel was a very good player. And when it comes to motivation and energy and really getting a hard day's work out of a football team, that is his true strength. And yet I never remember us having these discussions at length about trash talking with Mike Vrabel. I'll never forget when Kevin Byard picked off a pass against the Cowboys and he ran to the star and he did the TO and Vrabel went nuts. Vrabel was pissed at him. And everybody was saying, well, you know, it makes sense because the coach is a... Vrabel was setting the tone, saying, hey, that was a play that he made for his team, and then he went and made it about himself. I heard that, and I said, he's right. And I think everybody else probably heard Vrabel says, okay, he's right. Instead, now with the Titans, trash talking has become an actual subject that apparently we have to discuss every single day. It's so silly. One time, and I don't even remember the context, but one time, this was during a break, I asked Floyd, I said, "Do you ever coach your guys to talk trash?" And he said, "Nah, I didn't believe in that. I believe you did that trash talking on the scoreboard." And here we are every day, and there's a new discussion about the trash talking in practice. And it's just so silly. It's almost as silly as Simmons getting up there and saying, "Well, I'm the leader of the team," after he skipped the offseason program. But what's really disheartening about the silliness of all this daily trash talk updates, again, the one where Callahan was like, "You know, I have to sometimes ask Cam, like, hey, do I need to wait for you to get done trash talking, or can I call the play?" Because the NFL and the referees, they do not care. They will start that play clock. They're not going to reset it and say, "Oh, hold on, reset the play clock, 25 seconds, because Cam Ward was trash talking." No, 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 no. You better go ahead. You better get that one in there. So I will say this. I think it is silly, the trash talk. I think it is so embarrassing that the coach is out there promoting trash talking like they're going to be a better football team because they talk trash in practice. This is not the WWE. This is the NFL. Trust me, I love it too. The Rock comes out and he gets up there with a microphone and he says something like, "Do you know what happened in practice today? It doesn't matter what happened in practice today." And all 20,000 fans in the building are going nuts because The Rock's saying that. And it's just, that's wrestling. That's fake. Trash talk happens. And some of the best competitors trash talk. Tom Brady trash talks. But when you think about what makes Tom Brady great, he doesn't sit there and say, "You know what really pushes me over the top? Talking trash." But that's what the Titans are trying to tell you. One of the reasons we're going to turn it around this year is because we've spent all this time in practice talking trash. It's like, oh God, it's just so silly. And I'm so sick and tired of talking about them talking about trash talk. There's a little breaking news. The Tennessee Titans have waived Treylon Burks. So the way that this goes down is they've done it with an injury designation. So what happens is the Titans probably went to Treylon Burks and said, "Hey, we want to put you on IR. Treylon Burks probably said, "Well, my collarbone injury is not a season-long injury, so I don't want to go on IR. So what do we do here?" So the Titans give Treylon Burks what's called an injury settlement, X amount of dollars. They come up with a settlement, and they give the money to Burks. They waive him, and it opens a roster spot, and they've done it for Ramel Keaton. Now, let me say this about Ramel Keaton, who has one catch in his NFL career for 7 yards. He did play at UT and was a UDFA last year, played for the Raiders. I liked Ramel Keaton when he was in college. I remember watching Ramel Keaton run down the field and that Josh Heupel, "We're going to bomb the ball down the field" offense. And I used to think, you know what? Hey, this guy can run. Like, he can run. I like it. Now, I don't know if he's any good. I don't think he catches the ball very well. But, hey, who knows? Again, when it comes to Burks, he wasn't in the plans. And he was going to make the team, I believe, because he was guaranteed the money. So I think he was going to make the team, and they were hopeful. And then he breaks his collarbone, and he's not going to be available for 8 weeks. So it's like, well, okay, let's just go ahead and move on. The real person this probably means something for is Bryce Oliver, because it probably opens up a roster spot that he was competing for that he is probably now likely to win. And I think should win, because he does play well. Again, There were videos of Bryce Oliver playing well at practice on Saturday. Bryce Oliver played well at practice last year, played well in the preseason games, played well when he got a chance. But the Burks thing is really just more sad than it is anything else. So again, somebody texted me the text line and said, per Adam Schefter. I mean, the Titans, the day's transactions get logged at 3 o'clock. That's the end of the league business day. The Titans sent an email at 3 o'clock saying that they had waived Treylon Burks with an injury designation. So let me just say this when it comes to Burks. I wish him the best of luck. I don't think it'll matter, but I do hope things go well for him. 615-737-1025. So speaking of this silly smack talk that the Titans apparently have to talk about every day, and Jeffrey Simmons, the self-designated leader of the Tennessee Titans, I do have one fundamental question that I'm not sure I totally know the answer to. We'll hit that next. And your phones, 615-737-1025. It's Stillman and Company on 102.5 and 106 of the game.
Hey, Cam. Hey, you been when I told you yesterday? Remember when I told you yesterday doing this stretch? I said I was going to get 5 seconds. I told you what was going to happen. Well,
Jeff, I heard he's a big smack talker guy, so there's going to be some words exchanged.
There's nobody that wants to win on our football team more than Jeff does.
The chirping back and forth. Those are the things that you love in football, right?
Hey, you look good at 7-on-7.
But you can tell he's doing it from a sense of, hey, I wanted to see if this young buck is what he's really made of.
As much as Jeff likes to talk during practice, I think we found out that we have another guy that likes to talk probably just as much.
We're going to talk smack each day, all day.
Jeff.
Oh, I love it.
What's it? Yeah.
It's competition.
What's the point of playing something that you love you can't have fun with?
Bantering competitively and having fun and enjoying playing football, which is the best part of it.
Some of the stuff I can't say we'll be saying out there on the field. We talking smack to each other. Callie giving a call.
A little bit of a long call, Cam. Stay with me.
When I'm calling a play, he's doing all he's doing, but he's listening to everything I'm telling him. And he enters right into the huddle and he calls a play and doesn't script a play call. And so I asked him after practice and I said, I just help me out here. Do you need me to wait till you finish? And he goes, no. He goes, I'm listening.
But he hearing the call while he talking smack to me and gave the call and threw a bomb to Rhea. So
with that sort of competitiveness, it ramps up the energy of the entire practice. And I think all the other guys respond in turn.
There you go. That was the Titans little TV show they got, the Titans of Tennessee, the behind the scenes, where, again, they are hyping up this smack talk like, oh, you're going to see, this is going to bring out the competitiveness in us. It's all the trash. Oh! Like, man. Guys need to go chew on some aluminum foil or something. Like, you guys are all worked up. Just think it's a little crazy. Here's one question I have that I don't really know. I'm not sure I have the answer to. You know, with Callahan, he and his guys, those guys are like dogs sniffing Jeff Simmons' butt. I mean, he farts out perfume to them. So I don't listen to Denard Wilson, excuse me, and Tracy Rocker and those guys. Like, it's kind of embarrassing to listen to. But do you think Mike Borgonzi buys all this Simmons stuff? Do you think Mike Borgonzi, you know, Simmons is like, I'm the leader of the team. Do you think Mike Borgonzi is like, that is a guy I want to build a team around? Do you think Chad Brinker buys that? I know Rand bought it. Like, Rand would get up there on TV and say things like, you know, Jeff came into my office saying that the right side of the offensive line is doing a good job. Talking about Raidens and PT. Well, you know what? Jeff Simmons is not a talent evaluator, and clearly if he was, he wouldn't be very good now, would he? But I do wonder, like, do Brinker and Borgonzi, the suits, the guys that clearly are above the fray of the daily trench grind, are they sitting up there watching Simmons run his mouth all the time and thinking, oh, God, this is so obnoxious and annoying? Or are they the way that the Titans have been, which is, yeah, you tell them, Jeff. You don't have to get any sacks. You don't have to show up to OTAs. But you're the king around here, Jeff. You're the new Derrick Henry. And sometimes I think that might be what Jeff's going for. He wants to be the new Derrick Henry. The Don has left, and now he wants to be made the boss. I just tell you right now, Jeff Simmons, as far as being a leader and accomplishments and ability and the way he carries himself and the professionalism, he couldn't be further away from Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry, first ballot Hall of Famer. Not Jeff. 615-737-1025. A lot of you in the text line about Treylon Burks. Again, like, did you not know when he broke his collarbone, this was the end of it? Here's the last thing I'm going to say on the Burks front. Or at least the last thing I'm going to say on the Burks front for now. Jake, how many places have you worked in your life?
4 or 5.
Okay. Have you ever gotten an email when somebody gets fired?
Not really.
So they'll send out an email when somebody gets fired saying the subject will usually be Jared Stillman. So you'll get an email, and the subject will say Jared Stillman, and you'll click it. And the email will say, all, effective immediately, Jared Stillman no longer works for Stillman and Company. That would be something. That's like Papa John getting fired from Papa John's. Jared Stillman is no longer effective immediately. Jared Stillman is no longer associated with Stillman and Company or 102.5 The Game. And then they always end the email with, we wish him nothing but the best in his future endeavors. If you have any questions, reach out to management. The end. Translation. He don't work here no more. Don't ask about it. Don't talk about it. But it always includes that little token line in there of, we wish him nothing but the best in his future endeavors. Let me say this when it comes to Treylon Burks. Yeah, he was a bust. Yeah, they traded A.J. Brown to get him. But that doesn't mean that I'm not sincerely rooting for Treylon Burks to have good things happen to him. Again, that's usually just a throwaway line when somebody gets fired. We wish him nothing but the best. But I really do wish Treylon Burks nothing but the best. I would be okay if Treylon Burks went to another team. Now, we'd start having questions about the medical staff of the Tennessee Titans if this happened, even though Todd Torricelli's out and retired and there's somebody else in there. But if Treylon Burks goes somewhere else and resurrects his career and becomes a player, I won't be happy about it, but I will be happy for him, if that makes any sense. I will be happy for him. I wish him nothing but the best. But it sucks. You know, just the way it went down for Burks, it sucks. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Robert says, Simmons is talking about energy and bringing energy to practice. Okay. I think plenty of teams around the league have energy at practice and they don't need to brag about how much they talk trash. That's just me. Josh from Dixon says, I'm with you on not always wanting to pump sunshine, but all you do is talk doomsday stuff. And that's all you do. I hate that it's gotten this bad and I have to turn off the show to balance out your trash hate talk. I know you don't care, but you used to be my favorite and now I can't stand to listen to you. So here's what's going to happen. It's August. Well, it's almost August. It's August. Everybody's undefeated. Everybody wants to be excited for the season. And I want to be excited for the season too. As a Titan fan, I am depressed by the fact that the Titans are not very good, and they're not going to be good. They told you, their general manager and their president of football operations, they told you last week they're not going to be very good. And so it depresses me, because when I was a kid, no matter how bad the Titans were the year before, I always thought, hey, this is the year. We're going to show them. This new guy we added, you'll see. I used to feel that way too. With the Titans, I'm of the belief of baby steps. Baby steps. Instead, it's turned into Cam Ward is the next Mahomes. He's already galvanized the team. That's not possible. He's been there for a week. It takes longer to do that. And if you want to call that trash talk, I mean, you call whatever you want. They've told you they're not going to be good this year. I'm telling you they're not going to be good this year. What do you want me to do? You want me to talk to you about vibes? And you want me to say, like, hey, this team feels like, even though they say they're going to be bad, this team, it feels like they're going to be good. So, I mean, that's a, what do you want? You answer the question for me. What would you like? You tell me, and then I can't necessarily do that for you. I mean, you want me to say Cam's going to be Mahomes. That's what you want. And I can't do that because I don't know that. And by all accounts, he's probably not going to be Mahomes. Hope he is, but again, I can't just get into it because you're like, all I want to hear is positive. I can't do that. 615-737-1025. More your phones. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063. The game. And let me tell all the fine folks, this fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trinix Rock the Cradle. This event is sure to be a great time celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradle.org.
You mentioned some situation. You know, this was initially a quad bruise, and he's now been out for, you know, all of last year and now lingering into this year. Why has that been so troublesome?
I mean, he did have a cleanup on his knee in May, which set him back a little bit, but he's making, you know, progress here. He's really worked hard. He's been here during the summer. So, you know, he's heading in the right direction. And like I said, we'll hopefully get him back here soon.
Guys come back from cleanups in May to be ready for the start of camp pretty regularly, if I'm not mistaken. You saw the other side of the knee in Kansas City where the Chiefs gave up on him. I mean, what's the level of concern with him being able to be a contributor for this team come September, plus with the legal issues hanging over him? How good can you reasonably feel about him at this stage?
Listen, I've keep in contact with LJ all the time. You know, he's worked really hard to get back, and I feel really confident that he's going to be back.
He feels really confident that he's going to be back. Jake, you buying that?
Not particularly.
No! And did anybody else see the story in the Tennessean from Saturday's practice when it came to L'Jarius Sneed? I saw there was a story. Nick Sucks said, I caught up briefly with L'Jarius Sneed, clicked this story to read the update on Sneed. And of course I clicked it. Quote, Sneed spoke briefly with the Tennessean, updating his long recovery from multiple injuries that have kept him off the field since October of 2024. Sneed said he's getting closer to returning to practice, but when asked if he thought he might be back on the field next week, he hedged, saying he's not sure about that, and he's trying to take the long game. When asked about the knee procedure, Sneed said it was a team decision and didn't comment further. Okay, so Sneed spoke briefly with the Tennessean, saying he's getting closer to returning to practice, said he's not sure when he'll be back, asked about the knee procedure, said it was a team decision. What? I have a couple thoughts. Number one, this reminds me a lot last year, like when everyone was wondering after about 6 weeks of the quad bruise, you know, oh, Jared, it's just a helmet to the quad. After about 6 weeks of that, Sneed talked to the media in the locker room, and he's like, who knows? I could be back next week. Could not be back next week. And he ended up not returning for the rest of the season. It was all a bunch of bullcrap. He essentially pled the fifth. I don't even know why he showed up in the locker room to talk to the media, given how evasive his question answering was and how unrealistic it was that he was actually going to come back and play. The second thought I have is, what happened to that update that he gave at his football camp where he's like, this is the healthiest I've been. The healthiest you've been is being on the PUP list and saying, well, I might not be back next week. I'm unsure. And finally, here's the reality of it. I believe L'Jarius Sneed is doing the best he can, and I'll give him credit for this, to not get himself in trouble and to not get his money voided, his guaranteed money voided, a la Christian Wilkins with the Raiders. Which, by the way, Adam Schefter had some tea earlier today as to what may have gone down with Christian Wilkins, what may not have gone down with Christian Wilkins. Again, that's a different discussion for a different day. But it feels to me like L'Jarius Sneed, he was at the OTAs this year, and they talked about he's been rehabbing in the building every day, and Sneed has been in the meeting rooms, and Sneed has been the... I think Sneed has been told by his agent to mind his freaking P's and Q's. Because if there's one slip up, one fine, one anything, they'll void all the money. So you can't make any mistakes. You already got the bad wheel that we know is not getting any better. And you've got the alleged shooting in Texas hanging over your head. And you better hope you get all your guaranteed money, because if you don't get your guaranteed money and you get sued for millions of dollars, you're going to be in some trouble. And so I think if the team tells Sneed, we want you to jump, he's going to say how high, because he'll do whatever they say. If Mike Borgonzi came out and said, hey, I want you to go wash my car in the parking lot, I think he'd wash his car in the parking lot because he's so afraid of getting in trouble, which is finally a good thing. For whatever that's worth. 615-737-1025. Neil says, did Brian Callahan really ask Simmons if he needs to wait until after he's done talking crap to call a play? That makes me feel like the coach doesn't command any respect from the team. You know, so that's something that I think they talked about during minicamp, where Brian Callahan was like, you know, I'm trying to get the play call in, but Cam is too busy talking trash. So I'm like, Cam, do you need me to finish or are you good? You want to finish or are you good? He's like, no, I can hear you and talk trash at the same time. Number one, I don't really believe that. I don't believe Cam Ward can multitask like that, because I don't think most people can talk trash actively in a 1v1 trash talking, yo mama is so fat conversation. And also here, queen right, double eagle shoot, double zig wide, trailer in, X. I don't think that you can do those things. And I think what Callahan was trying to prove is like, oh, no. Even when he's talking trash, he's still totally locked in. But I don't think he realizes what it really makes him look like, which it really kind of makes him look like, do you have control? Like, when it comes to running the team, like, do you really have, like, if the rookie quarterback's like, hold on, coach, I'm talking trash, we'll wait to, and then you're like, as the coach, oh, okay, hold on, let's let him talk trash, guys. That is not a good look. So if I was Callahan, I probably wouldn't have shared that with everybody, but hey, I think he was doing it to try to show, like, hey, Cam's locked in no matter what. Ryan in Nashville says, Borgonzi and Brinker seem very old school and no nonsense. That said, I don't think they're wanting loudmouth stars. I think they know that they're kind of stuck with Simmons. And you don't get better by getting rid of Simmons. And so I think the coaching staff, they've kind of taken to appeasing Simmons. I don't think Borgonzi and Brinker feel the need to challenge Simmons and call him in the office and tell him to shut the hell up. But I do think that they're probably thinking to themselves like, is this really a guy we want to market ourselves around? Is this really somebody that we want to go all in on? Is this really somebody that we want to put all our chips in the middle of? And I don't know if they do that. Mo says, would you be interested in Christian Wilkins after his kissing incident? We'll get into that. I'll just leave it at that. The kissing incident. Man, there is a lot to unpack with that Christian Wilkins front. That's the difference. One texter said, all bro said was they wouldn't be Super Bowl contenders. And you talk about as if they said fans shouldn't be excited for the season. First of all, they said they wouldn't be Super Bowl contenders. Well, they didn't say that. They said that's the goal, but they spent multiple moments in that press conference talking about needs and time to fill holes on the roster. That Chad Brinker talked about the need fans have for patience. That's not, hey, fans, be patient. We're not going to win the Super Bowl this year. We'll get to the divisional round of the playoffs. That's be patient, fans. If we go 5-12, like, it's going to take some time for us to build it up. That is loosely translated, guys, we ain't going to be good this year. That's how it's going to be. One text says, trash talk is for bums. Watch Joe Burrow on quarterback. Zero trash talk, all ball. Now, I'll say this. Joe Burrow is not totally all ball. There's the scene where he and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase are talking about where they like to go for vacation. There's Burrow talking to them about buying the Batmobile. I mean, Burrow talks about he plays video games in his spare time. Like, Burrow's not 100% ball. Here's the thing that I loved watching that, I don't know if you'd call it a documentary, but that show, again, it's quarterback on Netflix, and the cousin stuff is fine and the Goff stuff's fine. If you don't have time to watch all 4 or 5 episodes or however long it is, just fast forward through the Kirk Cousins stuff. If you want to watch the Goff stuff, watch it. It's fine. But the real stuff in there is Burrow. What I love about Burrow is that all of the extra nonsense never bothers Burrow. He pays it no attention. He's just kind of locked into reality. So when Zach Taylor comes up to him and says, you know, oh, that wasn't that bad, Burrow's like, bullcrap, it was that bad. When Burrow goes out and scores 40 points and they lose, Burrow's sitting there saying, well, I felt like that was probably the best I could have done. Like, I'm being real here. I think that what I appreciated with Burrow was just the total honesty. Burrow actually said, he's like, I'm not a rah-rah guy. I don't talk a lot of crap because if I get on somebody for screwing up, then they should be getting on me when I screw up. And I appreciated the self-awareness from Burrow. That's just me. So Charlie texts in the text line says, you're not going to talk about how bad your beloved John Robinson fumbled that trade. First of all, Jake, back me up. I already brought up the fact that John Robinson blew the trade.
Yes, you did.
Okay. We'll get into that. We'll get into John Robinson. Now that the Treylon Burks chapter is closed, we'll get into that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I really realized we got to a spot where it's going to be hard to kind of get a deal done. And the trade thing kind of manifested itself from them and really started working on that probably in the last 18, 20 hours and came together pretty quickly. This afternoon, wish him nothing but the best moving forward, and excited for Treylon and what he can add to our football team, and then the ability to slide back from 26 there, and we've get what we felt is really good value over the next couple rounds. It was good for us. So
think about keeping him. He didn't have power to not be here next year under contract.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of things. You know, there were a lot of different scenarios that we went through. These are the decisions that I'm faced with. They're hard decisions, and there's a lot of discussion that goes into them, a lot of thought that goes into them. At the end of the day, I have to make the hard decisions, and there's a lot of things that impact those decisions. Certainly the finances impact the decisions, and trying to get value when we can. And, that's the decision we made today.
There you go. That was John Robinson the day A.J. Brown was traded for Treylon Burks. And today, Treylon Burks officially waived with an injury designation after breaking his collarbone, ending what is essentially the worst trade the Titans have made since they moved to Nashville. And I believe Schefter has the graphic up there where the ultimate trade ended up being A.J. Brown for Burks, McCreary, P.T., and Kyle Phillips. Woof. That's a bad trade. So one texter, Charlie, says, you're not going to talk about your beloved John Robinson and how he fumbled that trade. Corey Curtis texted me. J-Rob's last three first-rounders, Isaiah Wilson, Caleb Farley, and Treylon Burks. Yikes. Let me say this. I'm not going to defend it. I'm not defending that. I'm not defending Farley, which was a move at the time I was absolutely speechless over. And I'm not defending Isaiah Wilson, a guy who ended up being cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And I know it was COVID, but that is the job of an NFL general manager staff to figure out who loves ball and who doesn't. I'm not going to go out there and try to say, oh, well, it was really this guy who wanted to make that trade. It was really, no, no, no. And that cut right there, you heard John Robinson say, these are the decisions I have to make. He made them. This failed. Here's what I'll say. There is a difference between John Robinson made a move that if you're wrong about that move, it could get you fired. And trading A.J. Brown for what Treylon Burks has provided for the Titans is a move that if you make it, it can get you fired. And he should be fired right now, which goes back to when he was fired, when they were in first place, when they were 7-5. They started off 7-3 before DeNico Autry got hurt without A.J. Brown. And I believe that Robinson should have been given another year. I believe Robinson should have been given another offseason. All right, you've made a couple of mistakes. Now it's time to earn it back. Give me a 2016 draft, give me a 2019 draft. And if he had gone into 2023 and he had pulled something like that off, I think then he would have had a decent team and everybody would have been okay. But he didn't. He didn't have the opportunity. And I think there's a difference between, hey, they should have fired him when they fired him, and those were bad moves. Those were bad moves. Wilson, Farley, and Burks were bad moves. The one that's the worst is the Burks move because you traded A.J. Brown. Now, they were all bad, but the A.J. one was the worst. And if I had to tell you what the worst move John Robinson made as general manager was, it would be that trade, and the drafting of Corey Davis would be number two. Because Corey Davis was an average player with the fifth overall pick, and while Isaiah Wilson never did anything, Isaiah Wilson was the 28th pick and the value of the fifth pick in a draft that has Patrick Mahomes in it, as compared to the value of the 28th pick, not the same. I mean, you're talking about missing on Hall of Famers because you took Corey Davis. I mean, the best player you missed was, what, T. Higgins? But I ultimately believe that if I own the football team and John Robinson had drafted Isaiah Wilson and John Robinson had drafted Caleb Farley and John Robinson had drafted and had convinced me to trade A.J. Brown for Treylon Burks, and the football team had the exact same results that they had the end of 2022, and then if they had lost the seven games in a row to end the season, which I think happens because of Robinson's firing. I think they lost to Cincinnati and Philly because Cincy and Philly are better than them. But they came home and got their asses kicked by Jacksonville. And I don't think that happens if Amy doesn't haul off and fire Robinson on Tuesday. She doesn't create that distraction for the team. But let's just say that happens anyways. They lose the seven in a row. If I own the team, I would have basically said, okay, this is it. Get it figured out, or we're going to make a change. And if 2023 had gone no better than it did under Vrabel and Rand Carthon, two guys who had their heads up their asses that year, then if I owned the team, Robinson would have been fired. But that didn't happen. So the big difference here for me is that I don't think John Robinson ever got the chance that I believed he deserved to dig himself out of the hole. Now, you may say it doesn't matter and that they were bad in 2023 because of John Robinson anyways, but he's not the one who wasted the 11th overall pick on a guard. He's not the one that drafted Levis. So I can't pin somebody else's sins on him. At the end of the day, the guy won 61% of his games. Guy won two division titles, made the playoffs four times in 5 years. And they were headed to a sixth. He did draft Derrick Henry. He did trade for Ryan Tannehill. He did sign Ben Jones. Again, all pro in his first draft. The A.J. Brown trade doesn't undo those things. Everything goes into play when evaluating a general manager. So if he swings and misses on three first-round picks, but he finds a way to overcome it, the way that Kyle Shanahan overcame his swinging and missing on three first-round picks because he drafted Brock Purdy, and Brock Purdy has stabilized the quarterback position for him, then he would have been able to get himself off death row. But Amy never gave him the chance. That is where I will stick up for Robinson. That said, if the results were the results that were had with Carthon and Vrabel and the results we had last season, then yeah, Robinson should have been fired. But not fired when he was fired. That's what I'll say. Ricky says he wasted five on Davis. That, to me, is the one I still can't get over. He knew. He knew Davis wasn't that good. Not to say that he thought that Davis wasn't going to be good. He knew Davis wasn't worth the fifth overall pick. I have to believe that. And that was a need pick. And he should know better than that. And I believe of all the picks, Davis was the worst. The AJ trade was the worst transaction, but the Davis pick was the worst. You know what's crazy, though? For every bad thing he did, there's a corresponding good thing. When you trade a fourth-round pick for Ryan Tannehill, that's a good move. When you draft Derrick Henry in the second round, that's a great move. That guy's going to the Hall of Fame. And sometimes I feel like when we talk about Wilson and Farley and Burks, you completely forget about the good things that he did as general manager and why I believe he earned one last shot. That's all I'm saying. One texter says, why does he not have another job? If the only qualification of whether or not you're a good football evaluator is whether or not you got a job, Rand Carthon got a general manager's job, and he was incompetent. So I'll tell you why I think Robinson hasn't gotten another job. I think it's in large part because the NFL, they always want to hire these up-and-comers. Very rarely do experienced general managers get second jobs, and I think it's stupid. Dan Quinn gets a second job in Washington, and he wins, and people are like, oh, wow, Dan Quinn is winning some games. He won games in Atlanta. Thomas Dimitroff, the general manager from Atlanta, can't get another job. He's the CEO of an analytics company, even though he built a great football team in Atlanta. You think he just forgot everything about football? I mean, Floyd never got another job. And you think that for all those years that Floyd was on ESPN and he was working with the Patriots, do you think at any point when Mike Reinfeldt and Rustin Webster were the GMs of the Titans, did you think at any point those guys were better general managers than Floyd Reese? Do you think right now there are 32 people in the NFL that are better general managers than Floyd Reese? So that doesn't bother me. The other thing I will say about this, and I really believe this, and we're going to see. Like, we're going to see, because Vrabel's got a job. We're going to see. But I actually think Robinson knew more about what he was doing than Vrabel knew what he was doing. And we'll see, because Vrabel's got total control in New England, which you know that's what Vrabel wanted here. But I actually, if I owned a football team, I would rather have Robinson be my general manager than Vrabel be my coach. That's just me. 615-737-1025 here on the program. 615-737-1025 if you want to weigh in. So there's one quarterback I want to bring up that is not Cam Ward. But there's one quarterback I want to discuss, because I think it may be easier to talk about other teams' quarterbacks than it is to talk about your quarterback. I'll explain what I mean, and we'll get to it next. Stillman & Company, 1025-1063 The Game. And you know what? Let's give something away. I saw somebody text into the text line who was like, I'm changing the channel because you're talking about Robinson. Fine. Well, you won't win. Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025. You want a pair of tickets to see Rod Stewart at Ascend Amphitheater on Thursday, August 14th. Good luck there. Stillman & Company. Hey, by the way, tune in for player interviews and the latest updates from Titans training camp as the team prepares for the 2025-2026 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Messero and 12 South and Parman Energy.